come a little higher up, fill in these front row seats. Our place is within. And let me say thank you very much. Thank you very much. And before I turn to the scriptures, let me just suggest to you, my dear brethren, whenever you and I come to the ministry meeting, always bring a Bible. You say to me, Brother Dave, that is obvious. But I want you also to promise me, always bring a notebook. I trust you have your notebook. And thirdly, if I have my notebook, I should have a pen. Every believer should walk with these tools. These are tools that we need. As we serve the Lord, let us do our very best in serving Him. Now I turn to the book of Genesis and chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. As we seriously seek to serve the Lord, what we need to do is to get into His Word. And we need to put that Word into practice. Let me just pause to ask the Lord for help as we open the scriptures. I'm at Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 1. We're encouraging everybody to come up front. It is best not to sit in the back. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the Christian company. Give us a blessing and encourage us as we open the scriptures. May we hear your voice as you speak to us by the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to encourage the saints as well. When we come, let's bring our children. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want to pause there. The book of Hebrews and chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I am back at Genesis and chapter 1 and verse 1. I'll come back to Hebrews 1 verse 1 shortly. Beloved, how serious really am I when it comes to being a student of the Word of God? When it comes to hearing God's voice and learning from God. Another tool that is very important as we study the Word of God, that is you at home privately, me at home privately, study the Word of God. When I open that Word of God, sometimes there are words that are used that if I take a good Bible dictionary, I would discover that the idea I had was not exactly right. Or that something could be added to it to help me to understand it better. I'll tell you what I mean. In the beginning, here what is being indicated is that God started a clock called time. This beginning in verse 1 is the beginning of time. Before that, there was something called eternity. Only God dwelt there. Even the angels were created by God. So they were not in that beginning that we call eternity. No, so in the beginning, when God was ready to start with man, He created the heavens and the earth. This is the point that I want you to appreciate. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, not only did He create, but when we come to Hebrews 1, God spoke. So this God who is creator so loved His creatures that He found opportunities to speak to man. It is so very precious to realize that our God, whom we can call our Father, has a delight and a joy in speaking to us. Now, every time I read the Bible, I should say to myself, God is speaking to me. I mustn't look around at other people and say God is speaking to them. That is not very important. What is very important is God is speaking to me. So I sit down with this Word of God in my hands, I open it, and I seek to appreciate what God is saying. So in the beginning, God. But who is this God? If you take the Bible Encyclopedia and Concordance that I've been speaking to you about, and you look up the word God as written in Genesis 1 and verse 1, wonder of wonders, it is a plural word. It is a plural word. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all bound up in that expression. In the beginning, God. It is a plural word. Check it carefully and see what the Bible is saying to us. There is that triune God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And there were those angels who declared, holy, holy, holy. Why was that holy, holy, holy repeated 3 times? It is because the angels were addressing the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now don't take my word for it, see, because I am no authority. The Word of God is the authority. And the point is this, that as we discover the word God in Genesis 1, it is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of whom the Scriptures are saying that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What a wonderful thing to have a great Creator God who thought of us and placed man on the earth and put him in a garden and sought to speak with him and commune with him day by day. And the only thing that breaks that communion is sin. We find God would come and commune with Adam, and they had wonderful times together. But then, when Adam disobeyed God, we find Adam hiding when God came. Adam, where art thou? That question only came in because of sin. It is so important for us to appreciate that it is this same God who is speaking to you and to me today. Our conference centers on the book of Malachi. And we find in the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 that then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. It is this same God that we are talking about. The God of the universe. The only God. The only wise God, we are told. So that important thought is, we are dealing with the beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth became without form and void and so on. But it is this God who created the heavens and the earth. And now our time is limited, so I'm going to turn you to the book of Hebrews just to make a few comments there for your prayerful meditation. I could have turned you to 1 John, to the Gospel of John in chapter 1, that is. I could have turned you to that verse, and perhaps that is what I'll do now. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 1, and notice something there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now perhaps I should have read this one first. And the reason is very simple. In Genesis, in the beginning, is a description of time. God was starting the clock. God was beginning with man. At the end, God will bring in eternity one more time. We live in a period called time. So we wear watches. And I saw a dear brother wearing a Fitbit today. And so on. We are creatures of time. We look at the sun and we say, if it is 10 minutes to 10 in Barbados at this point, it means that in Jamaica it is 10 minutes to 9. We are marked by time. That is Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, when God started the clock ticking. But here in John 1 and verse 1, we come to eternity. When it says in the beginning, this is not the same beginning as Genesis 1. This is time, this is eternity in John 1 verse 1. Notice what it says. In eternity was the Word. So the Lord Jesus has no beginning. He was always there. We're dealing with eternity in John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Notice the capital W. That is the title of a person. When we are dealing with the Lord Jesus here in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1, he is called the Word. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This is so very important. In his existence, the Lord Jesus is eternal. In his person, he is distinct. That is, we cannot say that the Father died upon the cross, for he did not. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, who died upon the cross. So in his person, he is distinct. There are certain things attributed to the Lord Jesus that we cannot attribute to the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross of wood. His blood was shed that our sins might be forgiven. So if in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God, notice the last statement in that verse 1, and the Word was God. In His existence, He is eternal. So when it says, and the Word was God, this is the point that is being made. In His existence, He is eternal. In His nature, He is divine. The Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior. But then we come to Hebrews and chapter 1. And I read that verse 1 again. God. Now if in Genesis the word God is a plural word, let's be very careful now. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, the word God is in the singular. The word God in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 is singular. What am I saying? That the one who is being highlighted in Hebrews 1 verse 1 is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Notice what it said. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God sent messengers to the prophets. God did not personally come down to earth and speak to men. He sent men to men. This is the point in Hebrews 1 verse 1. So this God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us in the person of the Son. And notice my point. If you read it from Mr. Darby's translation, you'll see that what I'm saying, I'm quoting really from him. Notice this. When God sent men, He used words. He gave them messages. But when the Lord Jesus set foot on planet Earth, it was not so much words. It was the person of the Son. And what this verse is really saying to me is this. That God now is not so much using words. When He wanted to express Himself, He sent the one who is called the Logos, the Word. That person of the Godhead set foot on planet Earth, and by looking at Him, God was speaking. His very behavior says that God was speaking at that time. So today, it is not so much what men say. What is important is what does God say. And God sent us His Son, the one who is the Word of God. We saw that in John's Gospel chapter 1. That the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word. And if you look at it again, you'll see a capital W. That is not just a word. That is the title of a person. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Logos, the Word. And when He set foot on planet Earth, God was speaking, even if nothing was said. The Lord Jesus said a lot. But the point really is that by His very person and presence on the earth, God was speaking. God is still speaking through His Son. So you look all through the book of Hebrews and you will never find who wrote the epistle to the Hebrews. You'll never find it stated anywhere who wrote the epistle to the Hebrews. And the point is this. the writer of the Hebrews was so wise that if God is finished speaking through men, the writer of Hebrews does not put his name because God is speaking. And that is the point. He did not play up himself, whoever the writer is. And I'm not going to suggest any names. When you read the book of Hebrews from top to bottom, you'll not find anybody saying that this is an epistle written by John to the seven churches or by Paul to the church at Corinth or anything like that. It simply says to us that we have to be very careful not to neglect the word of the Son of God. Because if the angels spoke, God backed it up by destroying those who would not hear. How much more responsible we are now that Christ himself is speaking. We are doubly responsible. And God would have us to appreciate the fact that in the book of Genesis, he created the heavens and the earth. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1, the Word was from eternity. Not time, which is Genesis 1, verse 1, but eternity, which is before time. The eternal God is our refuge, underneath are the everlasting arms. That's eternity. And then in Hebrews, what is being said here in this verse 1 is that God, who set foot on planet Earth, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is God, and he is the one who is speaking, not necessarily with words, but by his very behavior down here. John would point at him and say, "Behold the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world." God is speaking to us. And he's speaking to us in the person of the Son. That is the one through whom God is speaking. And all we have to do to hear him speak is to look at him. See his behavior, how he carried himself. How he made purgation for sins at Calvary and sat himself down at the right hand of God, and no one could challenge him. In fact, God says to him, "Sit here at my right hand until I make your foes the footstool of your feet." And finally, do we appreciate the right hand? On two occasions in my work, I was privileged to meet the Governor General of Barbados and his aide-de-camp said to us as we were arranging the occasion, "At no time must anybody sit at the right hand of the Governor General. But if it is a citizen's birthday, 100th birthday, and it's a habit in Barbados for the Governor General to visit centenarians on their 100th birthday. If it is his privilege, he may say to the centenarian, 'No, you sit here.' The most important person in the room is sitting at the right hand of the Governor General. If you or I did it, it would be an offense. God has told his Son, 'Sit here at my right hand.' Not the left, not in front of me, not behind me, but at my right hand, on the right hand side of the throne of God. If you or I could take a rocket and go up into heaven now, we would see a man looking like Brother Milton or one of these brothers here, Brother Lloyd, sitting at the right hand of God. And he bears in his hands the marks of Calvary and in his side as well, a lamb as it had been slain. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Why? God has fully approved of him.
the work that he did has pleased God perfectly. He has given the place of power. That's the right hand. He has given the place of authority. That's the right hand. He has given the place of dignity. No one else shares that place with him. He's at the right hand side of God. And God would have us to bow in worship. For he would have all men to honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Oh, that we then, as we approach this blessed person, would have in our hearts his greatness and his glory. And that during this week, as we spend days together, we will hear him speaking to us for his name and his mercy's sake.